Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Friday, August 6th. The Yankees are rolling again. They have won 8 of their last 10. They won the first game against the Seattle Mariners, start of a 4-game series. They did it with, you know what my favorite is, the 3-run homer, because 3-run homers win ball games. It was Joey Gallo who got the job done in the 7th inning. His first big game, first big hit as a Yankee. I will be very clear about this. It is not his Yankees moment, okay? Yankee moments happen in October. It might be the moment that Joey Gallo relaxes a little bit and gets to breathe and not feel the pressure of playing for the Yankees as much because he'd gotten off to a pretty bad start. He was 2-for-23, 10 strikeouts, had not hit a home run yet. So he gets to relax a little bit, having a big game in front of the home crowd, in which he got a curtain call, by the way, after that 3-run homer. That is actually quite unusual at New Yankee Stadium. Probably just the way, I've had this discussion with people very recently, actually, about how the stadium isn't built for the same sound as it used to be. It's spread out over a larger area and holds fewer people. Acoustically, it can never, ever replicate Old Yankee Stadium. So that swell of applause that usually pushed a player out of the dugout after a big home run, it doesn't get quite as loud. And on Thursday night, there were 33,000 people in the seats. Sometimes that can feel pretty loud. And given where we came from a short while ago, every crowd of 20 or 30,000 just really feels very big again, right? So I thought that was kind of interesting that the new guy got himself a curtain call, which, again, they're kind of infrequent. And, you know, listen, lately the Yankees haven't been hitting a lot of those big home runs and winning a lot of games. But even in the last, you know, 10, 12 years, this stadium has been up, 12 years now. That's, it's not a common occurrence anymore. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But the Gallo and Rizzo show is officially underway. Anthony Rizzo has been spectacular. And even in a game when he goes 0-for-4, he makes a couple of nice plays, picking balls out of the dirt at first base and showing you how many different ways he can impact a game. Earlier in the week in the Baltimore series, you know, the game he had against Matt Harvey was pretty phenomenal. The at-bat he had against Matt Harvey. And he's becoming a fan favorite. I mean, this guy is drawing applause. You know, he hit on Thursday night, he hit 3 fly balls. They were all routine fly balls. One of them was fairly deep, but not really. 3 fairly routine fly balls, and the crowd is so energized by Anthony Rizzo that right off the bat, the crowd went crazy because they thought it was going to be another home run. Okay, he's hit 3 in his first week with the Yankees, and that's fantastic. He's done everything he needs to do, and we're already hearing talk about, oh, can the Yankees keep him long term? You know, let's leave that talk for later on. There are a few more immediate things you need to worry about, and the Yankees have to get through this stretch, which they're doing okay right now. They've won 8 of their last 10, and that's coming off of a stretch. It puts them 13-6 since the All-Star break, which is fine, which is good. Now, remember, 4 of those losses are to the Red Sox, and those kind of hurt. But remember that the first 9 games out of the break, the 5-4 mark that they went through, well, those are the games that they came out of the break with a big COVID issue and lost Judge, lost Urshela right away. And Urshela is down again with a hamstring, so they're not fully healthy yet. And even as they got Judge back, this latest round of COVID issues has attacked the pitching staff and the starting rotation. And 60% of your rotation is gone with Herman dealing with a shoulder issue and Montgomery and Cole down with COVID issues. So we are in a state now where the Yankees haven't been whole since the All-Star break, and they're 13-6 since then. A lot of it is absolutely a part of the schedule because they played the Orioles. They're playing Seattle now, which has a pretty good record, but they're not a very good offensive team this year. They're going to play the Royals next week. However, the Royals just took 2 out of 3 from the Chicago White Sox. So it's time when anything can happen here. You know that for sure. But the Yankees definitely got a little bit of a softer part of the schedule. The 3-game sweep in Miami right before the Orioles series. They're going to see the Royals. And then after the White Sox and Red Sox in back-to-back series, they'll see the Twins. So there's a chance to make up some ground here. And obviously every game is important for the Yankees, but they're managing to get through this when their roster isn't whole. And I understand injuries are a big part of it too, but that every team deals with. But the Yankees are getting crushed by losing their stars. They lost Aaron Judge for 9 games. Now they've lost Gerrit Cole for what? I don't know, 2 turns through the rotation maybe. These were the reasons why the Yankees were even in this race. Remember the first halves that Judge had, that Cole had. These were the guys that helped carry the team that was underperforming. So when you're playing this month now after the All-Star break and are without both of them for pretty significant periods of time, and when you only have 50 something games left, you lose somebody for 9 games, that matters. So that's where the Yankees are right now, and they're showing you that they have enough talent to beat kind of the also-rans, and maybe they're not as good enough yet to beat the big guys. But guess what? They're right there with the big guys. And as I mentioned to you before, the teams in the East are the only ones they've really struggled with, because they've won series against Houston and the White Sox, the two other division leaders. They've won series against Oakland, against Cleveland, the other, against Seattle, the other wild card contending teams. They've struggled in their own division. So I don't know if that says a lot about just who the Yankees are or how good their division is. But now you see Boston sliding back down a little bit, and you've seen them outside. They lost 5 of the first 6 games to Tampa Bay, but then played them pretty well. Don't see the Rays again until the final 3 games of the season. So it's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching and jockeying back and forth. But the Yankees open play on Friday. They are less than 6 games behind everybody. They are 5.5 behind Tampa Bay. They're 4 behind Boston, who holds first wild card. They're 1.5 behind Oakland for second wild card. So by the time this weekend is over, the Yankees could find themselves in a playoff position, and obviously a long ways to go, and they have to hold everybody off and keep playing well. So it happens when you win at 8 out of 10 and the other teams go on a little bit of a losing streak. The Mariners played very well against the Rays. They beat them 6 out of 7 times this year, and the Yankees have played very well against the Mariners. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason to this. Boston took a hit. Are they sliding back? Are they finally getting to the... Is what everybody thought was going to happen to them as the season went on finally happening in August, September? Or is it just a cold streak that they will find their way out of, because they have been a good team for the first 100 games this year? That's kind of what we wait and see, and it's the fun part of this last couple of months of the season. But the Yankees are riding the Gallo and Rizzo show, and hoping that the rest of the guys come back. You've seen some glimpses from DJ LeMahieu again, who had a really bad month in July. He had his worst month of the season. Remember when we thought that LeMahieu had snapped out of it and was coming back to life? Well, he had a worse July than he did in April or May. So the mystery of DJ LeMahieu continues. Gleyber Torres finding his way out of it a little bit, but still waiting for that major hot streak like you saw with Torres, a couple of years ago when he was one of the top players on the team and the top players in the league. But the length of the lineup is certainly showing again. However, without Urshela, without Sanchez, who's now on the COVID IL, they have some issues again, and the Yankees are going to try to figure out how to get through this. And they're 10 games over 500 entering play on Friday, and they have a stretch here, as I said, where they're not just missing players, they're missing their best players. And that's a hard thing to do. And as I've mentioned many times, a quote from John Daniels, the general manager of the Rangers for several years, and still Rangers executive, he said a long time ago, I'll never forget it, he said, "There is no contingency plan for your best players." And that's a hard thing to come to grips with when you're playing a sports season, when you think that it should be a next man up and everybody steps up. But if you lose your best players, you're not replacing them with equal caliber players ever. You're just really not. So you have to have a lot of different things happen the right way and fall into place. But if you lose an Aaron Judge, you're not replacing him with Aaron Judge. If you lose a Gerrit Cole, you're not replacing him with Gerrit Cole. So you're going to have to figure this out a little bit. And right now, the Yankees are fortunate that they're in a good part of the schedule, and some of the other guys are stepping up. Their trade deadline things worked out, at least offensively, in the short term here with Rizzo and Gallo And this is the home part is where we're finding it to be true, right? Gallo's home run is a Yankee Stadium home run. And we're seeing the nature of having Rizzo and Gallo and a couple of extra left-handed bats in the lineup finally making a difference. And the Yankees weren't against it. It was just harder to acquire them. And as they went for just choices of a particular player at each position, all of a sudden they ended up very right-handed. And it wasn't by design, for sure. But as you saw the options at a particular position line up for you, they ended up being more right-handed than anybody would have liked. Well, now they're a little more left-handed. They resemble a little bit more of a Yankees lineup that you're used to seeing with left-handed power sprinkled in. And we'll see if this is enough to get them through. A couple of things to think about as far as what jumped out to me on Thursday night, the three-run homer by Joey Gallo. That's what the Yankees have been missing is home runs with men on base. You know, for all the hand-wringing about, they don't play enough small ball. They've been playing too much small ball. You know, they've been scoring runs on sacrifice flies, scoring single runs here and there. What they don't do enough is get extra base hits with men on base, doubles and home runs. They are nowhere near the top of the league in either category, actually near the bottom of the league in doubles, and they're starting to move up the chain a little bit there the last week with what they've been doing. Gallo hit two doubles on Thursday night before his big home run. But here's a little context for you about hitting home runs with men on base, okay, and how bad the Yankees have been at it this year. In 2020, last year in a 60-game season, the Yankees hit 44 home runs with men on base in 60 games. Last night's homer was their 45th home run, just one more than all of last season, and it was their 108th game. 45 home runs with men on base in 108 games. All the others, solo shots. Solo shots are the equivalent of small ball. You're putting up one run at a time. So home runs with men on base make a big difference. That's why I say it all the time. Three-run homers win ball games, and Gallo's certainly did on Thursday night. The bullpen situation, you know, Chad Green gave up a home run, and it feels like he's been beaten by that a lot this year. It's actually more pretty much in line with his career averages. His career average is about 1.3 home runs per nine innings. That's where he is this year. It's just, you know, his eighth home run. Feels like a lot. Some of them have been in really big spots, and obviously you know that there have been walk-offs, a couple of them, in closing situations. And obviously when you have a guy who comes in the high leverage spots like that, tie games or one-run leads, you give up a home run, it's going to stand out and might cause you to lose a ball game. The Yankees did not lose last night's game. But Chad Green has been giving up home runs. It's actually not that out of line with his career average. The guy who is beyond his career average is Aroldis Chapman, who is, you know, he hasn't blown any lately, but he comes achingly close sometimes. You know, he's kind of teetering on the edge, and he kind of comes back to that dominance with a big strikeout. But you also see a pitch get away where he just, you know, he yanks one into the ground or he lets one fly over the catcher's mitt wild. There's a lot of those getting away too. So I still think there's some grip issues with Chapman that could be affecting that. But he is gaining confidence with every save, hasn't blown one in a little while. But his home runs this year, and I know he didn't give up one last night. He almost gave up a three-run homer to Haniger in the final batter of the game, but it was hauled in at the warning track right in front of the fence. Chapman's career home runs per nine innings, a lot lower than Green's, 0.5. But this year, it's almost triple that. The last 2 years, almost triple. So he is having – now, last year you could say it was about the ball. This year it's not about the ball, as we know, but they're – it's certainly a worry, and because he has given up big postseason home runs, the farther you get into this season, the more you're going to worry about Aroldis Chapman, no matter how dominant he is between now and then. The fact that he struggled so badly at one point this year and the fact that he's given up big postseason home runs the last couple of years, that's going to be in your mind. It doesn't go away, and that's something that he's going to have to fight, and there's only one way to erase it. And we'll see if he can get there. You know what that is. That's being the last team standing and getting those last outs. So we'll see how that works. It's still a little dicey with Chapman. Jonathan Loaisiga was even warming up In the ninth inning on Thursday, in case Chapman had gone too far, 30 pitches into the game, he finally got the last out and didn't need to use Loaisiga. But the Yankees are kind of still searching for it with their pitching because of the COVID issues and the injury issues, and we'll see if they can manage to get through this next stretch here. They don't have another off day coming for another week until after the Field of Dreams game, which is coming up on Thursday, August 12th. And for those of you who listen to 30 with Murdy, special treat next week. Next week, a conversation with Phil Alden Robinson. He is the director of Field of Dreams, and I'll talk to him as we lead up to the Yankees and White Sox in the Field of Dreams games on Thursday. So head to Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, subscribe to 30 with Murdy, and you'll get the conversation with Phil Robinson, Field of Dreams director, delivered to you next week when it posts. And of course, you get these conversations here, my Yankees reports, Ed Coleman's Mets reports, delivered to you on the WFAN Baseball Insiders podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe and review and all that jazz. And until next time, I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.